Oh, it's with Craig Carmazin and Eric Name from The Athletic, who joins us as the Bucks get ready for their first playoff game of the 2024 playoffs. Good morning, Eric.
Hello, how are you?
I am good. Eric, before I give you the opportunity to kick off our 7-11, optimistic, pessimistic going into this postseason?
That's a strange one. I think this Bucks team has the talent to make a deep run, but at the same time, they haven't played the best basketball over the last month. You know, losing 8 of the last 11 going into the playoffs, Giannis getting hurt, Damian Lillard dealing with injuries as well. I think this season just comes down to the idea that they have the talent. They just haven't always played at that level and shown that ability.
You didn't answer the question there. Eric Name, optimistic or pessimistic going into the postseason?
I'm a journalist that covers the team. I don't understand the question.
Do you think they're going to win a playoff series or multiple playoff series?
I think they're going to win multiple playoff series.
That is very optimistic then for the Bucks fans to hear going into the postseason, because nobody knows this team like you do. And I think what a lot of us think is like, hey, if a team doesn't have it figured out, is it possible for it to click? Or does this team have it figured out? They just haven't been together, right? Like the top three guys. I mean, so is that where you're leaning? If you think they can win multiple series, I think that means that you believe they have it figured out, as we saw against like the Oklahoma City Thunder, like whatever that was, 4 Sundays ago. They just haven't been able to play together, and your belief is that Giannis comes back soon enough and that happens?
I mean, I think when you look at this Pacers team, we talked a lot about Giannis's injury this whole week. But at the same time, Tyrese Halliburton has not been the same since he's come back from his hamstring injury. I think if you look at some of the statistics that kind of underlie Tyrese Halliburton's season, it's pretty massive stuff. Like, I put it in one of my stories this week, but, you know, if you look at Halliburton from three, our guy Seth Partnow at The Athletic ran these numbers. Like, if on team-created threes, so we're talking about catch-and-shoot threes, Halliburton used to shoot 43.8%. That's dropped down all the way to 35% after he's come back from his hamstring injury. If you look at threes off the bounce, he used to shoot them at 39%. Now he shoots them at 32%. So there's a real possibility that this week off gave him the chance to get healthy and, you know, start to, you know, feel right and look like the guy that he was in December. But if that guy in December isn't around for the Pacers, I think this series is going to be really hard to win. Even if Pascal Siakam is now there and, you know, they have more depth or, you know, they've changed things around, I think it gets difficult for them with or, like, that's not even accounting for Giannis. Like,
wow, wait. So, Pacers, Eric, just to go back to that, I mean, that is a December, right? So we're talking about 4 months. And, you know, he was an all-star, right? So he didn't have a full
100%
all-star break. But, like, when we see, okay, Giannis had an injury a week and a half ago, then it's like, hey, getting a week off is huge. I mean, if this is still 4 months later, it seems to me it would be pretty surprising that the 1 week all of a sudden is going to make that big a difference if this hamstring injury is still that big of a factor 4 months later.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first 33 games of the season is one version of Tyrese Halliburton. I think that's the version that's largely in line with who he is normally across the season, and the last 35 games have been a different version. And obviously, you know, there's going to be games in there that he was very good and he looked kind of like himself from the first 33 games, but overall in those final 35 games, he just hasn't looked like the same player. So to me, like, that is, you know, while the Giannis injury is obviously going to play a massive role in this series, I just think if you look at Halliburton and his health, that's going to be a really big part of the series is how right is he and, you know, can he get on the floor? And can he do, like, he'll play, but, like, can he look like the guy he used to look like? That was when the Pacers were at their absolute best, and we just haven't seen that guy in a while. So, to me, that's where a lot of this series is.
It is the 7 at 11, and our 7 at 11 question is for you, Eric, that you'll kick off. Who are the top seven assisters in Bucks postseason history? What seven Bucks players have the most assists in Bucks postseason history? You can go until you get one wrong. Who do you got?
Wow. Most in, let's go with, how about Paul Pressey?
Paul Pressey is number two, actually tied at number two with 401 assists in his postseason career.
How about Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I've heard of him. He is number one on the list with 413 postseason assists. Well done.
What about Chris Middleton?
Heard of him also. He is number four on the list with 355 postseason assists. You're almost halfway there. Three out of seven.
Wow. Trying to think who else in the 80s I should put on this list. What about...
I don't think he would have played enough playoff games. I was going to say Marcus Johnson, but I don't think he's played enough playoff games.
Let's try Oscar Robertson from the early run.
Oscar Robertson is tied with Paul Pressey for second place, 401 assists. You have the top four in order. You're over halfway there to knocking out the entire 7-11 and pitching a perfect game.
The Bucks splitting the point guards in the last 5 years really makes it difficult because I can't figure out if Eric Bledsoe and Drew Holiday are going to be like 6 and 7 on the list or just not have enough. So let's go there. Let's give the people a chance. Let's go with Eric Bledsoe.
Oh, maybe could have gone the other route. Eric Bledsoe is not in the top 10 in Bucks postseason history. So that does open it up for you at 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. Most postseason assists for the Milwaukee Bucks of all time. Giannis, Pressey, the Big O, Chris Middleton are the top four, looking for numbers 5, 6, and 7. And these are not small names in Bucks history. They may be three of the seven most important players in Bucks history that round out this list. 800-990-3776. Eric, speaking of the most important name in Bucks history, Giannis, how much does them winning or losing game one or two impact when we see Giannis back on the court?
I think certainly if they pull off a game one win, I think that could make the team more comfortable, the organization more comfortable with having Giannis sit out Tuesday as well and giving him all the way to next Friday, which would be game three. So I do think that would make it a little bit easier. And this just is, it's an injury you don't want to play with. When you look at calf injuries, the left soleus is a part of the calf. When you look at those types of injuries, they are kind of like the gateway to Achilles injuries. And, you know, the first article I wrote about this injury contained the anecdote about Kevin Durant, right? Like, it's really hard not to immediately...
And Durant is the only guy, right, that they've studied in the last 100 guys who've had the injury, right, who went from this to the more extreme injury, right? So this isn't like, that's not like a common path.
It's not, but you immediately think of worst case scenario because that's just like what you have to do with injuries. So you think about, all right, 2019 playoffs, he goes out for 4 weeks with a calf strain, comes back, game five of the NBA finals, tears his Achilles in his first game back. And you all of a sudden, like this is, you know, a moment in history where if you're looking at Kevin Durant and what he could do, his resume in the end, how great of a player he could be, you know, how high up on lists he could end up being in the end. He lost a year and a half of his career. It was a significant step back for him, and it totally changed the trajectory of what he was going to be able to do as an NBA player. And when you look at someone as important as Giannis, like, that's something that you want to avoid. And again, like you said, that's worst case scenario and like the worst possible situation, but it is something that needs to be a part of the team's calculus. Like, you really have to make sure that someone is all the way back before you let them back on the floor. But I mean, when you're talking about Giannis, like, there is probably some point where it's just like, he is so good at recovery. He just attacks these rehab sessions where it's, you know, 24/7. All he's doing is focusing on his rehab. He's done that for the last 10 days, which is a lot of time for him to try to get right. And then, you know, if he misses today's game, that's two more days. If he misses game two, all of a sudden that's three more days. And all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, 17 days, I think 16, 17 days total that he would have to recover from that injury. And that's the length of time that I think you'd really start to feel comfortable with getting back on the floor. So, I do think a game one win makes it a lot easier for the Bucks to hold him out of game two and try to help protect him a little bit. But in the end, if he's right, he's right. And that's kind of where you have to be at this point. You know, Doc Rivers was telling us that all Giannis has been able to do at this point is, you know, get on the floor for some walkthroughs, shoot a little bit. But he hasn't been able to do anything live. And that was as of yesterday. So you still have to think that he's still a good bit away, but you never know with Giannis, right?
Yeah, I mean, Giannis, and I had the same injury 2.5 years ago. It took me a year and a half to be back at full strength, but the consensus,
you're a little different. The consensus,
yeah, the consensus is Giannis, the better overall athlete. Let's talk to Dumpy. You are on the line. Don't be nervous with the great Eric Name from The Athletic. Morning, Dumpy.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, Craig? It's been a while.
It's been a long time. Who do you have for our 7 at 11?
Well, first I want to make my Bucks prediction.
Yep.
I want to make a bold move. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Bucks win in 6 games.
Never heard that expression put together, so I love hearing Bucks in 6. That would mean closing out game 6 on the road. I love it. All right. What else you got?
Okay. I have Marty Conlin.
Marty Conlin, I think right behind Bledsoe, not on the list. Always get a great guess out of Dumpy. Steven's a service process server. You're on 7-Eleven, Steven.
How's it going? Steven the Garage checking in for the first time in a long time.
Oh, wow.
It's been so long.
Yep.
All right, how about Sidney Moncrief?
Sidney Moncrief is number 6 on the list. Absolutely. We said it's some of the most important names in the history of the Bucks are the ones missing. So we have Giannis 1, Pressey 2, Robertson, Middleton, and Moncrief, only missing 2 names.
I know this one's going to be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to go with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is number 7 on the list. Exactly right, with 227 assists. Leaving only one name, and it may have been one that we heard from Eric Name. What do you got, Steve?
I know, and it's one of two. I'm going to go with Eric Bledsoe.
Oh, no, that's who he guessed wrong. Oh, already guessed incorrect. Thanks for the call, Steven. We are down to just one name on our 7 at 11, and he has, Eric, I think we would agree, the most famous assist in the history of the Milwaukee Bucks, the person who is still missing. So, Eric, when we kind of think about this series and think about this postseason, where do you put Dame's injury? I know we heard he's back full, but where do you put Dame's health coming into this? And where do you put Dame being able to be back in that alpha dog role? Like, what are you expecting from Dame Lillard in these first 1, 2, 3 games, however many it is without Giannis?
Yeah, I think this is kind of it's not the moment Damian Lillard was expecting, right? Like, this was supposed to be Giannis and Dame going together on this postseason journey and, you know, trying to figure this all out together. But essentially from the moment that the Magic game ended last Sunday, we talked to Damian Lillard and he said, all right, well, we're going to prepare like, you know, Giannis isn't going to be here. And whenever he comes through, that's great. We're going to be better because he's one of the best players on the planet. But until that moment, we are just going to plan for him being out. And that means this is the possibility of seeing what Damian Lillard used to do in Portland. And we've seen some of those games this year. There's been some monster games from Dame when he has been either the lone guy
or he's been the guy with Chris. You know, when he was the lone guy, Chris out, Giannis out against the Clippers, you know, I think a couple months ago, he has 41 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. You know, he's living at the line. He's doing the whole thing. You know, you think about the Phoenix game. I think it was like a week later. They put up 140 points. They hit 18 threes in the first half to tie an NBA record. Dame has 31 points, 16 assists. Like, those are, I think, the moments that you're hoping that he can find. And it's going to be really interesting to see what he can do because, as Dame said, this is the best team I've ever had around me. Like, even the teams that we went on a run into the Western Conference Finals in Portland, this is the best team I've ever had around me. And with that, you got to figure out what the balance is. Is it just going to be Dame, 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 or are there some possessions for Chris? Are there some possessions for Bobby? How do you figure that out? And then I think one thing that we've seen in the second half of the season is that the way that the league has decided to officiate games has had a very large impact on Damian Lillard. You look at what he was able to do at the start of the season. He would always get those calls where, you know, either he pulls the ball through, you know, he takes a bump and throws up a floater, and he would just live at the free throw line. It would be, you know, 10 plus free throws every night. And then when the league started to call fewer fouls, you know, his free throw numbers came
which
down.
I love, Eric. I don't know how you felt about it. I think the second half and the less fouls and the if players are trying to initiate fouls rather than play basketball, they're less likely to get the call. And I know it's tough to say you agree with something changing like that midstream, but I've loved it.
I think it's a better version of basketball. I think it is absurd to change the rules in the middle of a season.
Exactly. Yep. Both of those can be true.
100%. Like, the basketball is better, but it's absolutely insane that you change the rules in the middle of a season. Like, it's just really tough to... I can't draw a parallel at any time ever of my time covering the league, my time watching the league. This is unheard of, but yes, I would agree that the basketball is better, but it has made it harder for Damian Lillard. If we're talking about the players that have been most affected by those rules, that is something that he has perfected over the years. And I think that's going to be really interesting when you talk about the lingering injuries that he's had with the adductor, you know, with the groin, with Achilles. He's had all those nagging injuries. And if you're the Indiana Pacers, you're going to put Andrew Nembhard on him. You're going to put Aaron Nesmith on him. You're going to put size on Damian Lillard. You're going to try to get really physical with him. And you're going to make him feel you defensively.
But by the way, Eric,
minutes.
If those guys are on the court, doesn't that mean the Bucks can kind of hide Dame defensively on them? And you put Pat Bev, ideally, when he's on the court, on Tyrese Halliburton, so you're not making Dame extend as much effort on both sides of the ball? Or do they just hunt him on some pick and rolls and they're going to try to wear down Dame?
Well, I mean, ideally, I think that's what happens. But the game plan you just laid out for the Bucks is the game plan that the Pacers would lay out, right? Like, they're going to do everything in their power to get Lillard in every pick and roll. The Bucks should be doing everything in their power to make Tyrese Halliburton guard as much as humanly possible. You guys want to switch some actions? Okay, great. Come up here in this pick and roll, Tyrese, and you're going to defend for 40 minutes as well as try to be the engine offensively for 40 minutes. Because I really do think if Giannis is out, they're playing the same game, right? You're trying to limit your point guard on one end and make him work as hard as possible on the other end. And that's something that, you know, can lead to bad offense. I think at times we've seen from the Bucks where they get too focused on isolations, on going one-on-one, the ball stops moving, they stop getting the second side actions, they stop making defenses work, and then all of a sudden they don't score for 3 minutes because they've just been jacking up jumpers in one-on-one situations. And that's a good way for Chris Middleton to score. That's a good way for Damian Lillard to score. But it can also go bad in a hurry. And it's the same way over there with Halliburton. If you keep trying to attack Dame, if you keep trying to attack, you know, the weaker defenders and don't get your teammates involved, you can play some ugly basketball. So I think without Giannis, the game plans for both teams are going to end up looking very similar, and it's going to be who can do it better. So it to me leads
a very interesting stylistic kind of fight here before Giannis comes back. And then once Giannis comes back, it's a totally different fight. But I think that leads to a really interesting couple of games here at Fiserv Forum over the next couple of days.
Yeah, well, Eric, we appreciate you joining us. And I like hearing you say once Giannis comes back. But I think the other thing, we have come to accept Giannis as superhuman, but this is a real injury. And I think... Uh-huh. Until it happens, I think we have to say if Giannis comes back, just, you know, to be fair. But everything we've seen from Giannis, when, again, I would have ruled him out for the NBA Finals 3 years ago, seems to be when Giannis comes back, because he is so superhuman. Great to hear you optimistic, even though you are a journalist and you are not optimistic as a fan. You gave us all an optimistic view of your expectations for this postseason. Thanks so much, Eric. You can read him at The Athletic.